to bleeding braces, 'twas on the 9th of June, 1862, on a summer's afternoon. We took the bus from Bamburgh's, and she was heavy laden. Away we went along Collinwood Street, that's on the road to bleeding.
Oh, God, you should have seen us coming. Us and the folks from out on the road, just as they was coming. There was lots and lots and lots of men on the smiling faces, coming along the Scotland Road to see the brave braces.
Yo, what is good, ladies and germs? Welcome to another episode of CHN Radio. It's your boy, Elijah, here. Once again on the ones and twos, and I'm joined again by known MLS hater, Josh. Josh, how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm okay. That hits me in the gut. Here's the thing, man. I like the teams, and if you're an Atlanta United team supporter and that's your local team, man, support your team. If you're a Rev supporter and that's your local team, I'm about supporting local soccer, says a guy in Oregon supporting Newcastle.
Well, to be fair, and I will say this, I'm assuming that Josh can hear me on the little recording thing that we use. I just see no sound waves coming from me, but I'm assuming Josh hears me. Is that correct?
Oh, I can hear you, and your sound waves are hot.
Okay, well then I'm just gonna do this. How about now? How hot are they now?
Sound great.
Okay. So anyway, the supporting local thing with MLS is a whole shebang, a rabbit hole we're not gonna go down. But I mean, we did just lose another USL club who somehow. As soon as MLS decides they're coming to that city that already had an established soccer culture because of said USL team, that USL team is the one that suffers the most. So yeah. RIP to the real ones, the San Diego Loyal. Actually had a guy I went to Syracuse with who was on that team. So that's
a good squad. Look, here's just a frame
Morgan
of reference.
Morgan Hackworth, you know, son of US soccer legend John Hackworth.
Actually, so. That's...
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Hackworth actually didn't he coach the Philadelphia Union for a while?
Yeah, he was like an interim during that weird before Greg times. Like, yeah, it was cool because I didn't realize how much of a like legend in the youth setup he was until and then of course he's done the tour as a USL coach. Yeah. But until then, and I was like, oh shit, Morgan didn't mention that his dad was like. Soccer god.
That's fascinating. Anyway,
yeah.
I know we're not a US soccer pod, but just to throw this out there for just frame of reference is in every civilized footballing nation, when a lower league team exists and the market, quote unquote, that they play in is deserving of a higher caliber team, then they would earn their promotion through meritorious means by doing well in their respective league. You know, you get a Luton Town, who is a very small team, who earned their way into the Premier League. It isn't like the Premier League decided, hey, Luton Town would be a great market for a football team, and then they plant one there. So that's the difference. What Major League Soccer is doing is identifying key markets and then creating expansion teams and plopping them right down in the middle of cities where there's already teams.
And the gag is that their market research for determining what cities, especially I'd say like Atlanta is probably one of the only ones in recent memory that I feel they didn't do this with, but they just take the most successful USL franchises. Like Nashville was a really good USL franchise. Austin Bold were solid in Austin. Like,
and then they kill it.
And like obviously San Diego Loyal. Like it's and then even the cities they were considering, like San Antonio or Sacramento. These are all like really good USL cities. Vegas as well with the Vegas Lights. Like these are all really good USL cities with really well run teams. St. Louis, another one. I can't believe I forgot that one. Orlando is a little bit different, but same thing. Inter Miami, Miami FC was already there. Like, just all right. I'm going to actually get really annoyed. So we're going to keep it moving. Got an exciting episode. Want to remind everyone to like like this. I don't know why did I say like, share, and subscribe. This isn't YouTube. Subscribe to this. Rate us 5 stars on all platforms. For sure, and maybe YouTube down the road. Who knows? But yeah, and then give us a follow wherever you use the social medias at CHN_podcast. You can follow Josh at whatever his Twitter is if you want to. And
it's pretty easy. Follow me. It's Joshua R. Deuter.
Yeah, people are still going to get it wrong though. So
that's all right. My last name is silly.
The exciting part. Yeah. Let's get into it. New segment alert at the top of the pod. Josh, take us through the Fast Fantasy update.
I got a Fast Fantasy update. You can still join the league. The league code from the Fantasy Premier League website, or I would give a shout out to the app. I think it's a lot easier than going online from your desktop. The league code is GS4TAZ or Z, depending upon your continent. Get stuck in. There are currently 35 in the league. I would say the top half, probably like even like one through 15 still give a shit. And I mean,
excuse me, I care. I just forgot
that. Pardon my dismissive nature. I said it at the beginning before week one. You can get stuck in. You can start this week, and if you manage your team after 3 weeks, you're going to pass over the first 10 or 20 of these people, because people get in and they forget about it, right? And then if they go 3 or 4 weeks and they forget about it for so long, then they stop caring because then they're too far behind. I will tell you, you are never too far behind in fantasy to do well, because there are so many people that have lives and kids and jobs, and they forget to do this kind of stuff. Currently, I didn't even know you were in this. I was like, Elijah, why didn't you join? And you're like, dude, I did. And you are 34th out of 35 with 81 points. And you are Alain Saint minimum, which holds up.
Yeah.
And after a poor week two and week three, I'm still top of the table with 204 points. This is the best I've ever done at fantasy Premier League. So,
To be fair, this league clearly is too good for you're too good for the league.
Good for
That's
this
what
league.
I'm hearing.
Give a shout out to Comeback Carius FC. He's second on 188 points. Mags in Madrid on 186 points. Botman returns on 175. And in fifth place, Fabian Shark Club FC on 171.
That's a good name.
Yep. Oh, I got one more because he's my boy in Portland. Shane Modlin is Shane Mod PDX. He's on 169 points in sixth place. Nice. Join the league, get caught up. It's easy peasy. And stickers, probably stickers for all, to be quite honest with you, because I'm a sucker, and I will make stickers and send them to every single person that plays fantasy. And then we'll get some more scarves and maybe some t-shirts and send those out to maybe like the top five, top 10.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, and for the record, I did join week one, but I totally forgot. Well, I meant to join after we plugged it on the podcast, but then I joined like right as the matches were starting week one, like on Friday. So that's part of the reason my total is so low, is that I was a week one wash. So
I will tell you, my fine feathered friend, log in when we get done recording, go make one change, update your roster, and get set for tomorrow. Isn't there a game tomorrow? Or is that
don't
Saturday?
What do you think I've been doing this whole time? Making sure I've got the app sorted and all that other stuff. Yeah, don't
got
worry.
You. I got
this,
you.
This is the beauty of recording with no cameras. You have no idea what I'm doing.
I don't
want to
know.
I could be completely naked right now. You don't even know.
I don't need to know that.
Okay, well, just so you know, I am. So, there you go. All right, women.
Yes.
What transition.
hell of a transition. Oh man, you're killing me. Let me see this. Thanks. That might be a little edit there, my boy.
No, it's not going to be an edit. Everything stays in.
Love
unless there's a medical emergency.
Not yet. Newcastle United Women Football Club, they defeated Burnley in the FAWNL Cup 3-2 at Kingston Park. Finally, they get their season started away to Fylde on Sunday at Kellermuir Park. Currently, Newcastle are in 7th on nil points from nil played, but Fylde are 10th of 12 in their division after losing 4-2 away to Huddersfield Town. They beat Chorley themselves 2-1 in their cup tie, but Newcastle are an unknown in this division and may surprise Fylde. I predict 3-1 away win for the Lasses at Fylde.
Okay. Boom. Love it. That's it. That's all we got.
That's it. That's what I got. And I will tell you how that goes down next week.
Good. All right, sweet. The other bits of news, we'll try to be somewhat quick with this. I have a feeling one of these stories might go a little longer. Elliot Anderson got his first Scotland senior call up, which is pretty cool for him.
Yeah.
It's a big W's for him. Yeah, congrats. I think that he's probably going to be a mainstay. And I don't know. Shout out to him. Shout out to Elliot. And then the other bit of news was a video surfaced after the match against Liverpool that had Jamal Lascelles and some other people fighting against a random collection of gentlemen at some street that apparently is in a rough area. Craig Ho from the Daily Mail was the one to confirm that Jamal Lascelles was the one involved. I think earlier it was someone shot it with a potato, the video with the potato, and so you couldn't tell who it was. It was just a black person, and I think a lot of people correctly assumed that that people were who thought it was Jamal Lascelles were just the same people who thought that I was Alan St. Maximin. So that being said, it seems like based off of the stuff that I've seen, it was somewhat a self-defense thing where his brother was being attacked by these group of people. I think Newcastle fans have a whole wide range of opinions on this. I've seen it's good that he's defending himself. I don't know why you'd want to fight Jamal Lascelles, to the people who think that Lascelles was in the wrong for walking down the street at night and being susceptible to being attacked by people, which is certainly a take. So that's a developing situation. Police are involved, and all that kind of stuff. So there we go. I don't know if you have any additional thoughts on that.
I think an adult should be able to walk freely down the street if they'd like to, but I can certainly understand the perspective that somebody who is in such an employment as his would be compromised in doing such. So, you know, I don't judge
it's
somebody.
It's also just like in the particular argument I heard was like, oh, like if you're a professional footballer, you shouldn't be like putting yourself in this situation where you're out at the bars after a game and stuff. And I was like, I don't think you understand how many times I saw like professional athletes like at clubs and bars and stuff all the time. It's like these are people too, and they're famous, and so I don't know, like it's I'm not even going to get into it because I don't know, athletes are people too, and like we said in a couple podcasts ago, I think people forget that this is a job to them as well. And like Josh will go, I'm not going to say Josh would go out to a bar after work, but like if he wanted to after work, he could go to a bar and no one cares. Like on Fridays, I sometimes hit up, there's a bar across the street from my office and we will go there and have a drink. No one cares. So that's that. EFL Cup draw was today for this round, third round, I think is what it is. There's already been some interesting results, including Tottenham almost, I think they almost lost. I don't think they ended up losing to Leyton Orient, which would have been hilarious because I think they're actually the bottom of the football pyramid like right now. But Newcastle will be hosting Manchester City. So EFL Cup campaign starting off strong.
Yeah.
off strong.
Hey, so, I'll tell you what, you beat them, you don't have to play them in the final.
I'm about to say, yeah, we could be the team to prevent them from doing the quadruple. Who knows?
Let's do it. Beat them. Fuck it.
Yeah. So cool. All right. And then moving on, we got a couple transfer news. It is the end of the window, so time to get sorted with all that kind of jazz. Ryan Fraser officially loaned out to Southampton. So we just mentioned how he refuses to leave the team, and he went ahead and did the damn thing. Other bits of news, Josh, I was actually going to surprise you with this on air because you had put in this like, oh, where are we at with the Isaac Hayden deal? Do you want to give everyone the news or do you want me to give them the news?
Yeah, I'm happy to share what I just looked up as I was looking at the running order. Yeah, Isaac Hayden transferred to Luton Town, collapsed after his physical. They didn't indicate that it had anything to do with the physical. It's just that he had visited the team. And they were in conversations, and then I think they couldn't get a deal done, which is pretty surprising because you'd think that Newcastle just, I mean, he's going to be a loan anyway, right? And you just, maybe they wanted to be a loan to buy and Luton wouldn't commit because they don't know what their future is going to be like. We don't have the details. I'm just speculating. But I could see Newcastle saying, look, we want to make sure if you're not going to buy him that when we loan him to, he's not coming back. Because Isaac Hayden didn't train with the team at all this offseason. He sold his joint up in Newcastle. He never returned for anything, and he's been living and training down in London. And I think he'd actually been training with the Hatters. So this was his preferred move, and it didn't work for him.
Yeah, and I'm also, I mean, we can speculate all we want. There's also the wage split and all that kind of jazz as Man United were dealing with their own, like, negotiation for loans as well, and I think it goes beyond just this player wants to be here and the club wants him and the other club wants to get rid of him. There's always the extra bit of stuff that we're just not privy to, so unfortunate that it collapsed. Again, we're recording this on the 30th and this will come out the 31st, so I'm sure if anything happens then you'll just have to wait for the next episode. But right now, it seems, barring anything crazy, I don't think anything is going to happen incoming or outgoing for Newcastle. Josh, you also wrote Jeff Hendrick on here. I hadn't heard anything about Jeff Hendrick. I think the last I had heard is that, like, I want to say Leeds were interested, Aberdeen were interested, Sheffield Wednesday, and maybe like West Brom.
Yeah,
I think is who what it was. Oh, did I just steal the thunder from you?
No, it's all good. It's all good. I put it out there, and we're a team, and it could have been any of those. I mean, I had posted. What did I post earlier today too? He was signed to Newcastle August 24th, 2020. He made 25 appearances and then went on loan for like 2.5 years, and he's still on the books. That's a pretty good gig if you can get it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's very odd because, again, at the time Jeff Hendrick made sense, like, it was, I want to say it was a free transfer.
Yeah, it was a
like
free.
Like, Sung Yong-ki as well. Like, it was a free transfer for a guy who had been a completely fine midfielder in the Prem. So, I don't know if anyone has any, like, the expectations were, the bar was on the floor for expectations. So, good for him that he's able to do things. I don't know. And then, I actually had a quick question for you, Josh. It's transfer related.
Do it.
There's free agents that are still around. And I'm just curious if I read a couple names, just like initial gut reaction. And even if you've never heard of the player, like gut reaction, yes or no to Newcastle, or like, you know, not even like a full BS meter, just like a,
like, yeah, if the roster, like if there was room at the roster, don't worry about the money. Just yes or no.
Well, no, not even rumor. I want you to take each name, think about it, whether or not it makes sense for Newcastle system-wise, whether or not it makes sense, like, wage-wise, think about their last wage, all that kind of stuff. Like, and you have, you know, maybe, you know, because this is going to take up a roster spot. So you got to be pretty selective in these lists of names. So you don't even know who's going to be next. But I'm just letting you know, like, there's some interesting names on here. And I just your gut reaction to hearing some of these names and whether or not you think this player, if you were Dan Ashworth, if you give him a call.
Okay.
All right. Yep. And these are free agents. So this is like, don't think that, don't think that this couldn't happen. Who knows? Just because the window's ending. But I just saw this from The Athletic. They have a list of like kind of the ones that are relevant in for the top three or four leagues in the world. And so here we go. First one, probably the, there's two, there's the first three are like the most well-known free agents. One, David De Gea.
Oh, no, pass.
Yeah, there's no real need for that. Sergio Ramos.
Well, Botman's injury isn't that serious, right? That we would have to bring in a troublemaker like Sergio Ramos. So I'm going to pass because he's a locker room issue. So pass.
Oh, you think he's a locker room issue or you think he's an on the field issue? Because he's been a captain every single team he's played on.
Okay. So
he's clearly liked in the locker room. He's just nobody. He's like a Draymond Green. You want him on your team. You don't want to play against him.
You don't
want to
play against him. I don't know. For some reason, I remember Sid Lowe talking about him on the Spanish football podcast, and maybe he wasn't as well liked in the locker room as it may seem. I think he imposed himself on the locker room rather than composed himself.
You went a different direction. I thought I would just say wages alone. I mean, he's used to being one of the highest paid center backs.
He's not so old. So, I just don't think he's got the wheels. I don't think he's going to, I don't think that he would play.
I think he would have the wheels to be a rotational center back in Newcastle setup, but I don't think that it would be worth it because you're talking about a guy who's used to making $250,000 a week.
So. Oh, he's not getting that Dosh. No, he's not getting that kind of cash at all.
All right. Here's another one. A surprise free agent still. Eden Hazard.
I would answer the phone.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That's another one where the wage bill would be pretty high.
Yeah.
But, it's tough because
I think you could talk him down.
Yeah, you could probably talk about it. Also, it's like you wonder how much of Eden Hazard's issues at Real Madrid are because they had like some of the dumbest people on their medical staff in the world. Like there was just, yeah. So I don't know. I'm curious to see. I kind of want Eden Hazard to be playing football again somewhere. So I don't know where that will be, but I miss the good Eden Hazard. And then this is a familiar name, another pretty big name out there, Jesse Lingard.
No. There's okay. a reason. There's a reason he's not there.
Well, also, I feel like he's just literally not at all budged on his wages because, he was still sort of sought after, and he obviously had a rough season at Forest, but it's very interesting.
You'd think that if anyone was going to take a punt on him, it would have been Luton Town, right? And then they would have said, absolutely, we need that kind of Prem experience, and they'd bring him in. It's his wages, and I think his expectations for himself probably don't meet his output, and that was his problem there at Forest. Forest were just taking everything they could and just throwing against the wall and seeing what stuck, and he didn't stick.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, cool. All right, and then just these are gonna be quicker. Some of these names, if you haven't heard them, just be like, I don't know this person, so no. Juan Mata, still kicking it about. He was at Galatasaray recently.
My brain is blown. I didn't even know he's still playing.
Yeah, that's insane.
He should be in the MLS, to be honest with you. He's MLS quality. Or off to Saudi.
Yeah, I would take him at Atlanta United.
Uh-huh. I'd take him at Timbers.
If everyone's going to treat older Spanish midfielders like, or any older La Liga like midfielders like the way they're treating older La Liga midfielders at Miami, then he's going to have time and space to do whatever he wants. Here's another one that's just constantly linked with Newcastle and a host of other just like former mid-table clubs. Alfredo Morelos. That's a good one. But Alfredo Morelos from Rangers is a free agent.
And ooh. How old is he? 30?
I think he's 30.
Forward, right?
Yeah, striker.
I'd take him.
Kind of play across the line.
I'd take him.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting one.
No questions asked. I think we're missing a third person in the rotation for forwards, and sometimes you need someone that can do something a little bit different. I think
he's not even 30, he's 27.
Oh, dude, that's a steal. He's a steal.
Yeah.
He's a, I think if I remember, he's kind of a more stout of a center forward.
Yes. Tricky. He's a thick boy.
He's tricky, but I think he's back to net in distribution to late runs. And that's something that's totally different than what you get with Wilson and with Isak.
I would describe him as when Maradona was playing in the charity games. And it was like, this guy is a little bit too big, but the technical skills are still there. That's Morelos. But yeah, he's 27. He's actually apparently got some medicals lined up, but that's neither here nor there. And then just quickly on the rest of the list, Jerome Boateng.
No, I can't even believe he's still trying to play.
Is another younger-ish free agent. Most recently at Manchester United, Axel Tuanzebe. I cannot say his name, but I think he was a
central defender.
He's a center back. Yeah. But just never really cut it at Manchester United. That's loaned crazy. All over the place. Yeah, I was surprised he was a free agent as well. We'll do one more off this list, or two more off this list. Actually, I'll do three more off this list. Okay. Andros Townsend.
Really?
Bring him home.
31? 32?
31 or 32, probably.
Had a severe injury last year, though, at Everton, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. His dad's a super nice guy. His dad's often on the Guardian Football Weekly, which I'm probably one of the few Newcastle supporters that still listens to them. But yeah, he'd do well. I don't know.
I think it's like it'd be cool if he was there and just around, but like it feels like he would be. In the same role that Jacob Murphy is in now,
exactly.
Coming off the bench as a right midfielder. And it's like, would he be better than Jacob Murphy
exactly. At
what we need him to do at Newcastle. So here's another one that's in a similar spot. Andre Ayew.
No. I mean, no, I bet Swansea would love him though. Isn't that where his brother is?
Jordan. I don't know where Jordan Ayew is these days. Actually, it's a good question. I would imagine he's still
ten years ago, I would have snatched him.
No, he's at Palace.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And then the last one is Stefan Jovetic.
Midfielder? Did he play for
Fiorentina? I lost you for a second. But yes, he's a striker. Go ahead. Sorry.
Was he at Fiorentina last year? Am I thinking of a different guy?
No, he was not at Fiorentina last year. He was at Hertha Berlin.
Okay. Maybe.
But another 33-year-old striker that would probably be a body. I would say out of all the people on this list, I think that would be the one I'd be reaching out to.
Yeah, just because of, think about the amount of fixtures that we have coming up and the level of play, that experience. But I mean, let's think about Hertha got relegated for a reason, man. Nothing went right for them last year. And I don't know if that's because of the players or if that's because of the management or just a bad combination, a bad year. But
I'll just say this. He scored 10 goals last season for – or not 10 goals last season. He scored 10 goals while he was at Hertha Berlin. Not great, but again, he was at Monaco before. That's probably where he was known the most, is that he was Monaco for a while. And before that, at Inter Milan and Sevilla. He did start at Fiorentina. So you were spot on in guessing Fiorentina, but that was like back in 08. I think it's just like, I think you're not expecting much. It's kind of the Chris Wood, like, we need a body, and you don't expect, you're hoping that he doesn't actually ever start because you have two healthy strikers.
Exactly. Just come and get a paycheck just in case.
Yeah. Just in case. All right. Let's get into this match.
Oh boy.
Which I actually forgot about, you know, it was nice not having to deal with that. But Newcastle lost 2-1 to the Klopp man in Liverpool. And so we have to talk about it because that's
I don't believe it happened on this
podcast.
Nah, I deny it.
Yeah, deny. That's what they tell you to do. All right, Let's start with the three words from the folks. Our boy John Bush says lack of urgency. Our boy Eric in UFC Indiana says went as expected. Joe Avery says just couldn't finish. Toon Army Denver says we defeated ourselves. Kim Avery with Botman Harness Holland. And then time. Oh, wait. No, I just read the three words from the week before. Okay. I was like, these all sound very familiar. Okay. All right. Again? This is the actual three words. Eric Schmidt says, feel so familiar, which is ironic since I just said that. Yes. Joe Avery said, Eddie Shambolic Mags. Josh says, it's life. It happens, which that's a GIF. And that's also not three words. So you get minus four because that's four words. You responded to the wrong tweet, man.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah. It's like, and then Mr. Steal Your Worldwide, at yo_ho_no_mo. Good to see him back in the fold. That's the homie. He's a day one. He has a GIF that just says, you blew it. Kim Avery says, cannot believe that. Durham Halimi says, very clear chances. And David Kellett says, too many back passes. So, Josh, you have an opportunity to redeem yourself with the three words.
Three words? I replied to the wrong one. That was like reply with a GIF, I guess. And my three words are, we got. That's how you get got, right?
That is how you get got. We got. Okay, so let's go ahead and break this down. Exciting match. We're just going to hit the highlights because I think the way I've laid this out makes a lot of sense. But we'll start off with lineups, of course. Newcastle with an unchanged lineup. To no one's real surprise, I think we both kind of predicted that. So Pope and goal, Byrne, Botman, Cher, Trippier, Joel Linton, Bruno, and Tonali. Then Gordon, Isak, and Almiron. Liverpool did some different stuff, as Josh actually predicted. They Salah, Gakpo, Diaz up top. So Gakpo moved centrally. Played as a striker for the first time this season, I believe. I think he's been mostly in the midfield. Their midfield was Szoboszlai, who was great, obviously. And then McAllister, who got his red card overturned, so he was able to play. Endo, as Josh said, making his first start. It was not his debut, it was his first start. And he played as the base of their midfield. Trent Alexander-Arnold in the back. Joel Matip came in for Konate, who was injured. And Virgil van Dijk was the other center back, with Andy Robertson as their left back and Alisson in goal. So nothing too out of the ordinary. The kind of, I think if you were paying attention, exactly what you would expect to be. Exactly what you'd expect each team to come out with in terms of lineups. And then we're going to just hop into the match events. Let's start off early on in the match. Trent Alexander-Arnold, sixth minute, picks up a yellow. He gets shoved out of bounds by Anthony Gordon. And then he picks up the ball in protest, starts complaining, and then throws the ball. Which, as we determined from the first match when this happened to Villa, that you can't pick up the ball during a stoppage of play. I think they had ruled that the ball was out, and he picked it up, and it wasn't their ball, that whole thing. So he got a yellow for that. And then almost immediately afterwards, puts in a pretty rough challenge on Anthony Gordon. Definitely Anthony Gordon sold a little bit. I'm not going to pretend like he didn't sell that a little bit. Arguably a yellow card. offense.
The only reason he didn't get a yellow card for that was because he was already on a yellow. That's favoritism.
I don't even know if it's favoritism. I think this is going to be, and I agree. It's silly. It's dumb. It's unfair. I don't know if it's like actual favoritism. I think it's just you're putting refs in a really tough position when they're having to give out yellows for things that weren't in the past yellows that have nothing to do with them actually committing fouls in the game. And so, like, if I'm a ref in a situation, it feels harsh to give the second yellow, even though that's what the rule is and that's what the rule should say. And I think we're just going to see refs feeling that out, because even when Bruno got his yellow for waving the fake yellow card, there was some arguable, there were some questionable tackles he put in that same match against, yeah. I think it was Villa. And it was like, that could have been a second yellow, or that would have been a yellow if he wasn't already on a yellow. And it's like, given how he got the first yellow, I could understand not doing that. But I what I'm hoping doesn't happen is, because you can look at it both ways. If you're a Liverpool supporter, you're saying Anthony Gordon is baiting the ref into giving out the second yellow. Or if you're a Newcastle supporter, you're basically like, Trent Alexander-Arnold knows he has a free yellow card challenge kind of available at him, available to him, you know, early on. And so, like, either way you look at it, those, either one of those being the outcome of this rule where guys are getting yellows for things that are pretty much just gamesmanship, makes it a little bit interesting. I'm curious to see how it gets governed. That mm-hmm. particular yellow card thing that was challenged a bunch, that there's some rules analysts that are very firmly saying that it was yellow. Josh, it seems like you feel that was a second yellow and that he should have been sent off.
Look, the first yellow was soft by like previous standards. I get it. That's a
but
reasonable.
But it's worth noting, it is literally just the rule. It's just like that's what the Premier League, this the rule. League decided.
Right. Yeah. And so like, I don't care if you've been watching football for 40 years. Me too. The rules changed. And so he got a yellow based on the current laws of the game. And that tackle, that was, to me, traditionally, you've seen it given. And I just felt like, honestly, if it wasn't Liverpool, if that wasn't such a high profile match, that would have been a red. If that was, if it was like Luton versus Brentford, right?
Honestly, if it was Newcastle versus Brentford, and Newcastle's a high profile team, I think it's like that's given regardless. Like, yeah, I think you're right. Where that's not given in Spurs versus Newcastle. It's not given in Liverpool versus Chelsea. It's not given in Newcastle versus Man City. But that is given in Chelsea versus Everton. Like that, that's going to be a second yellow for somebody.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. Well, so that's where the drama already started. But again, worth noting, and I'm just going through like the big events, and then we can kind of talk a little bit about how Newcastle played after it. But worth noting, to this point, Newcastle were completely dominant. Liverpool couldn't really deal with the press that well, and that led to their first mistake, which eventually led to an Anthony Gordon goal. Anthony Gordon scores the first goal off a counter, again, off another mistake, but it was cool. He took it well. It was a good goal. And shout out to Anthony Gordon. It was his second goal for the club. Trent Alexander-Arnold was the reason. This is kind of the second week in a row where he's almost been directly responsible for a goal. He basically couldn't control a back pass from Salah and just took a really bad touch. Gordon picked it up and just raced, like literally just 1v1 keeper, slots it past him. It's a goal. Newcastle fans are going crazy. It's 1-0, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's excited. Josh, I'm sure hearing it on the radio, you were probably excited. I don't know. Yeah.
No, good shout, because it wasn't on Peacock, so it was on my radio. Exactly. Very exciting. Very exciting. I was actually kind of like losing my shit because I was staunchly anti-Gordon until we signed him, and now he's that guy. He's that you don't like him when you have to play against him, and now he's on our seat. And I have a little WhatsApp group and Liverpool fans that I've previously mentioned. They fucking hate Gordon, brother. Yeah. They hate him. And they were laughing when we got him. They're like, yeah, it's never going to work out. He's a toffee through and through. He's a loser, blah, 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 blah. Dude, I couldn't be happier for this guy to score a goal against the team that cut him, right? I think wasn't he in their academy or some such? And he ended up at Everton. Yeah. So, no, not only was that a little bit of revenge for him, but to be honest with you, like, I think, and we talked about this in our season preview, he's going to come good. there's and if there's something that I also gained from the first two episodes of the Newcastle Amazon Prime show.
Oh, which was, is now allowed to the now if you're American you can watch it now.
Yeah. I've got the first two episodes done. I'm going to catch up this week. I've got Friday off. He was a target. He was a big target of theirs. I underappreciated how adamant they were to sign Gordon last January and that they had been chasing him for quite some time. And if Eddie Howe has that much faith in Gordon as a player, you know he's going to pour his heart and his soul into making him a better footballer. And I think that proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like you said, Gordon, long-term target. And I it kind of makes me think, I haven't been able to watch the – I'll be watching it Friday as well. I haven't been able to catch up. But it does feel like this was one of the players when Eddie was doing his interview of like, this is an example of a player he'd bring in, you know, in addition to the signings that were made with Trippier and Dan Byrne and guys like that. But and Chris Wood, that this would be a guy that he'd like to bring in order to as a future of Newcastle. I think it feels like this was one of his targets. All right. Moving on. Literally 2 minutes after Anthony Gordon scored, Newcastle were on the counter again. Isak had an opportunity, got in behind, and then there was a tackle made. Virgil van Dijk got Isak's legs before he got the ball, completely took him out. It was he was technically the last man back. He was on Isak. If he had not made that tackle, it would have been Isak 1v1 against his keeper. If you know anything about soccer, who's arguing like crazy? What was it? I think it might have been Jamie Carragher, who was like did not understand the denying a goal scoring opportunity rule.
I've watched this 20 times.
He was like, I don't understand how you can say that this is a goal scoring opportunity. We don't know what would have happened. We don't know if he would have scored a goal. And it's like, that is literally the point of the rule. It's this is a rule straight. It's not, anyway, that's not important. Virgil van Dijk was sent off straight red. I don't think that's getting overturned. I would be surprised if it did.
It's a stonewall red. Like the only only people that would say it's not are Liverpool supporters.
And like Liverpool supporters were getting mad at Liverpool accounts that were like, that wasn't a red, where it's like especially they showed one angle that was like a from the front view and it slowed down. It was like he literally he steps on Isak's foot and then goes through both of his legs
through his before
he gets the ball. So it's a red. And even if you didn't think it was denying a goal scoring opportunity, the challenge alone is close to red card worthy. So anyway,
so it's all going great guns. It's all going great guns, right?
Yeah, it's going well. I think if I remember correctly, I think Cher was the one that ended up taking the free kick instead of Trippier. But after that, Newcastle were up a man from the 20th minute until the end of the match. And you would think that being up a man with, you know, 60% of the match to still be played, that the team would score more than one goal.
You'd think.
And that you would easily win, especially and I would say this, like, yes, 3 years ago under Steve Bruce, like, you're right. That's not the case. I remember us struggling to beat Southampton when we were up a man and Alonso Maxman had to come and save the day. This is a new team. This is Eddie Howe's Mags, who are playing in full of confidence and at home press and make Liverpool and had been dominating the match for so far. But Liverpool stuck by their game plan and they made it to halftime without conceding another goal, which
that's the real trick. Because the thing is, I think that they didn't stick to their game plan, and
they stuck to their plan of like what they wanted to do if they were down a man is what I was saying.
Oh, fair. So, this is not my original idea. I can't remember who I'd heard say this, but basically if you watch them 11v11, everyone agrees Newcastle were playing them off the pitch 11v11. But then when they go down a man, they actually got better. And the reason is they had a focus, right? And whereas they had come out and they looked like they were playing not to lose to Newcastle, and they didn't really know what to do because, you know, all week long the media had sort of said out loud, well, Newcastle might actually beat Liverpool. And I think Klopp genuinely is scared of our team. And that's why he talks so much shit, because he's always trying to come up with excuses beforehand. And he is pleased as a peach to rub things in your face. This guy has zero class. This dude is zero class. He's the most classless piece of garbage out there. Yeah, shots fired, well fired. I do not like Klopp. I respect him. He's got a lot of experience and has won a lot of stuff. But it's not jealousy, man. I just generally don't like the fella. They gained focus, and he is a great coach, and he was able to focus this team to give them an idea of how to play and what to focus on. It was crawling back and fighting back and I just felt like that really did them a service, was to have a raison d'être, really.
Yeah, I don't know what that word means, but
a reason for living.
I want to point out a couple things. There were a few chances Newcastle had. I think probably most famously, Miggy had a couple of chances. He had one, a volley that was an absolutely insane save by Alisson, and then he hit the post after that as well. So not for lack of trying, Newcastle did try to get another goal in there. And then probably famously, I don't even want to talk about this. Then we get into the second half, and some of those chances happen. Newcastle are still going for it, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. There was chances all over. The Almiron chances happened in the second half, and it was really good. Then subs were made, and I think this is really where things started to take a turn for Newcastle. Newcastle made a triple substitution where they took off Anthony Gordon, Alexander Isak, and Sandro Tonali. Worth noting that for Newcastle, like, Tonali was probably the only one in the midfield that was getting forward and trying to create a lot of the big directional diagonal balls from the midfield would be played to Gordon, were coming from Tonali. Bruno, despite what the ratings might tell you, probably was not having one of his better games. Is I'd say probably another not so great showing from him. Joelinton was fine. He was still Joelinton stuff. Isak probably deserved to come off, and then taking off Gordon was an interesting decision for Barnes. I think it makes sense to bring on Barnes. You potentially could have taken off Miggy there for Gordon, but I feel like you don't take off Gordon until you have another goal, because he was the only one in the attack that was actively creating chances. A lot of chances fell to Miguel Almiron, but he was not creating anything. And so if you need someone to create opportunities for your strikers to score or for other people to score in the team, Gordon was the only one doing that. And so that happened. all right. And so then we get to and Liverpool made subs as well. They brought on Darwin Nunes for McAllister. And they brought in they also subbed off Endo, who was not doing well. Diego Jota came on, Harvey Elliott came on, all that kind of jazz. We get to the 79th minute, and this is where everything starts to go to shit. Harvey Barnes is on the pitch. Harvey Barnes has an opportunity to essentially seal the game. Joelinton released a pass down to Harvey Barnes. Harvey Barnes had Callum Wilson ahead of his man with an opportunity to score. If you have that opportunity to play a ball to Callum Wilson,
yeah,
who is a prolific scorer, you do that. And to Harvey Barnes' credit, in the past, he did. And in the Villa match, he did. He gave Callum Wilson his assist. But this time, Harvey Barnes decided to go for goal himself, and he blazed it over. So Well, no, sorry. He didn't blaze over. His shot gets blocked. So that was exciting. And at this point, it's starting to get a little dicey because Liverpool have grown back into the game. And then right after Harvey Barnes' interesting decision-making, Darwin Nunez ties it up. And then it becomes real squeaky bum time. And you're worried if you're a Newcastle fan, but you're like, okay, I mean, it's still 10 men. Liverpool just subbed on a center back who is making his like Premier League debut. Like he's wearing a number in the 60s. You're like, okay, we still got Wilson. We still got Barnes, blah, blah, blah. But no, that Nunez goal completely took the sting out of this Newcastle team. Elliot Anderson came on for Joelinton and tried to do something. Mm-hmm. That didn't work. Sven Botman got injured and Matt Target came on. Dan Byrne got moved to center back, which didn't go well. And then Darwin Nunez scored to go up 2-1 at the death. And it was a classic smash and grab for Klopp side. But which is ironic. They're not really known for the old smash and grab. But yes, Nunez came in at the end and took the lead. So yes, a longer summary, but at the end of the day, Newcastle played well for the first 25 minutes and then got an advantage and then decided to not play well for the rest of the match or not play well enough.
I mean, look. Newcastle outshot Liverpool 23-9. It's 8-4 on target. They had 60% possession. They had a higher pass accuracy. They should have won this game, but they lost to what basically has become a bogey team. This is not a rivalry. This is just a team. Maybe it will become a rivalry. It's got all the trappings to become an actual rivalry because Liverpool think that they're fighting for first. They don't realize that they're fighting for third. They're not. I don't think that Liverpool is going to win the league. I don't think that they'll win it again for a little bit. And I think we're going to be the team that's in their way every year for second. We're going to be just fighting with them for second, third, fourth. Them, us, and probably Manchester United. And and I think it's going to be a something that maybe we've always been a thorn in each other's sides when we were strong, but Liverpool has just been so much better than us for decades and decades. They're not used to us being good and it pisses them off. And Klopp doesn't know what to make of it. You know, we should have beat them.
I think he enjoys it though, because it's an actual rivalry. I think like him and Pep is not a real rivalry.
No
anymore. There's, because I don't I think
City
like,
has a rival. Like they're peerless.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think City's surpassed like the rest of world football as a whole. But I do think like I personally think Klopp sees Eddie Howe as his equal, like in the sense of I think he respects Eddie Howe the manager.
Yeah, he doesn't respect Jason Tindall, that's for sure.
I'm about to say he has his persona, but I honestly think he respects Jason Tindall too. Because there's like you said, you like we hate Klopp, right? But so like that's how other fans feel about Jason Tindall. That's how fans feel about Newcastle. So I think there's a mutual respect between both managers, and I think it is a chess match of getting under each other's skin, and that like has a trickle down effect across the board where, you know, obviously the fans feel certain ways about each other. The narrative's being pushed out by both camps about each side. Like it's very interesting. And I do think that this has the makings to be a potential rivalry, especially given the fact that like you said, I think Liverpool are, who knows? I don't think they'll be competing for first anymore. It does feel like this is Arsenal's turn to kind of get in that groove. But yeah, all I have to say, disappointing match. The less we say about it, the better. Let's just go ahead and move on. Who do you have as kind of your most disappointing player?
I've got Harvey Barnes as my most disappointing player. And I think it's just I've had him in my fantasy side for 3 weeks. In the first week he did really well for me. And in the last 2 weeks, I think he's come up short. And I think that his mistake, his error, well, not, you know, there were other reasons that cost us the game. But
that's going to be the one that's remembered.
Yeah, and I think that probably took him out of the running for a starting position if he was in that conversation. Like, there's just, okay, that's fine. We still have a little bit to learn. We'll get you there. There's good competition in those positions anyway, and Harvey Barnes will continue to be a super sub, and I look forward to seeing him play. And it wasn't devastating to his career, but it just it let us down. It let me down. I do want to add that we have now played two teams in a row who have traditionally dominated us for decades.
And, oh, yeah, for sure.
And we've made a really good game of both. Okay, so ultimately, let's keep the faith. We have a really...
By the way, the last time we played Man City at the Etihad, it was 2-0. The last time we played Liverpool, it was 2-1. So technically, our goal differential has gone down against both of those teams. So that's positive as well.
Yeah. Who's your most disappointing player?
I'm going to go Isak. I think Barnes is a good shout. But I think that is just... He was unfortunate that like his mistake happened and a goal happened right afterwards. Because like there were so many other opportunities, like you said, for Newcastle to have scored, and there were other chances that were missed or put out wide that like that game should have been 4-0 before Harvey Barnes even came on the pitch. But I think it's Isak because it just feels like he's not similar to Barnes, and part of this is just who we play, and like I think people are trying to neutralize Isak the player. I don't know why I said Isak the player, but I think he's also being people are trying to neutralize him. Because I think there is a respect for him in the league and across the board, but he just wasn't at all involved. It felt like in that match. I mean, the only highlight was him getting the red card, and even then, like even after that, you would imagine like if you're a striker and the best center backs for the team are gone now, and it's just you versus backups, that you'd have more opportunities to do something. And just nothing ever happened. Like no chances really came from him. No decent opportunities, no decent shots on target, nothing. It was just bad. And it's just like you know, I don't want to start throwing around price tags, but you're a striker and I'm going to hold you to the standard of that I hold any striker, and it's like I want my strikers to look like they're engaged and want to score, and it just didn't look like he was trying to score. And I do think, again, part of that is Liverpool and part of that's by design, but it doesn't make it so that I'm not disappointed in the player and the performance.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, we're going to move on to Brighton real quick, get into it. Brighton, who fairly disappointing match over the weekend. Where they lost to West Ham in kind of embarrassing fashion, 3-1, after starting off the season strong and looking like they might be back in contention. But turns out that Wolves and Luton Town are just not that good. So, Wolves might be frisky. I'm not gonna lie, they might be frisky. Worth noting for Brighton, the big injury, Motor was already out, but the big injury for them is Enisco. The Paraguayan guy. Yeah, I think it is Enisco. I don't know how to say his name. It's Enciso, and I'm bad at names, and so we're just gonna live with that.
Okay,
Enisco, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, he's injured and he's sick. He's a Paraguayan attacker. Kind of he's the torchbearer for Paraguayan soccer, like Miggy's handing the torch to him. Actually, last time we played Brighton, he and Miggy got into it in the summer series thing. He and Miggy got into it a little bit. It was cool. But yeah, so he's out for them. And then for Newcastle, it is obviously Emil Kraft, Joe Willock. Botman is potentially going to be out. Joe Willock is still out. Mankio is still out. And potentially, it does seem like Lewis Hall is still being integrated in the team. He didn't make the team sheet, so there's some possibility that he might just not be fit enough yet. But that's just something to look out for. That's just a guesstimation from the FOT Mob team based off of what happened last week. Josh, you got anything? Any thoughts on those injury shouts?
No. I just it's I think they started, as you said, they started well enough, and it just fell to shit last week against West Ham. I'm still not convinced of West Ham, and I think that they just had a bad match.
I'm not convinced of West Ham at all. I'm more convinced that Brighton will be good than West Ham for sure.
Yeah, and as you said, like, we beat them on neutral ground in preseason. I think we can beat them in their home, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think this is a big bounce back match for Newcastle. I think, like, you have to look at this opportunity with, again, part of it is those two teams in particular, and also Man U. I think, oddly enough, I don't think Arsenal has the same level of weight because we've pretty much been in all the matches with Arsenal. But yeah, the Manchester United one, until we beat them finally, it felt like that was another team where it just, the team wasn't confident that they could beat them, and you could tell that. Like, Newcastle wasn't confident they could beat Manchester United, and it was evident in the cup finals, evident in the matches leading up to it. And then when they finally did it, it now feels like, okay, if we play Man U the next weekend, I'd feel pretty decent going to that. I still don't feel the same way about Liverpool. I still don't feel the same way about Manchester City. But I do feel like Newcastle are like, yeah, Brighton were good last year and we beat them.
Yeah.
Like, last year and we beat them, and they lost a lot of good players. And so we're probably going to be able to beat them again. So I think the confidence level is different going into this one. Similar to how it was different going into the Villa match versus, you know, Man City or Liverpool. So I'm with you.
I'm not worried about the injuries. I think Roberto De Zerbi, I think he inherited a pretty good team. But I think he, in addition to that, he added to it, and it made it, you know, pretty dangerous. Again, versus Luton, they played 4-2-3-1. Solly March, João Pedro, Simon Adingra, and Evan Ferguson were, you know, dangerous. At Wolves, they played a 4-2-3-1, a brace by March, Matoma, Estupiñán, 6 yellows, 11 fouls, trying to contain a mid-side like Wolves. You know, if they were that stressed against Wolves, just watch what happens this weekend, because I just think that there's going to be a lot of fouls. And then, again, 4-2-3-1. So he doesn't stray from his lineup. Welbeck slid back to a central attacking mid, which is interesting. Evan Ferguson was put up top, and he failed to score. Mitoma failed to be dangerous, and he was typically someone who I would have picked to be a danger man. He's in my fantasy side, and he just didn't look up to snuff last week. I think their game against West Ham was a dud, but I don't think that's indicative of their play against us. I think they'll be they're going to come into it with their tails up. They see. I think that from their perspective, they see Newcastle as sort of a scalp to be had, early season scalp. And especially they think that we might be weak coming off a pair of losses to the best two of the best teams that we'll play all season. They failed to score. Evan Ferguson was up top. He failed to score in 90 plus minutes, and a team that had 78% possession against West Ham, and they lost. They put up 25 shots, 10 on target. Only Pascal Gross scored. It was a very disappointing game for them, and I think Pascal Gross is a pretty dangerous guy.
No,
he's not. Never mind. I take it back.
No. I like Pascal Gross. All right, let's get into the stats and history, sir.
Yeah, all time versus Brighton, 11 wins, 9 draws, 12 losses. We haven't played them a lot. The first time we played was February.
Yeah, but I'd say they're not. I mean, the difference of divisions.
Yeah, difference of the divisions. First time we played was February 1930, and the first away match that we had against them was in March 1962, and that was in the old Division II. And so I picked that game to take a look at. Our side was in between the pipes was Dave Hollins in 1962. At right back was Dick Keith, listed as defender, Alf McMichael. As center half was Bill Thompson. Wing half was Jackie Bell. The other wing half was Brian Wright. Mid or forward was Alan Suttock. Outside left was Jimmy Fell. The center forward was Barry Thomas. The forward was Ivor Alchurch. And the inside forward was Jimmy Carey. Now, we won away to Brighton 4-0 with goals from Ivor Al Church, Jimmy Carey, Alan Suttick, and Barry Thomas. Zero subs were used. Zero subs were shown as played in the stats. That doesn't necessarily mean that's entirely truthful, but that was in the old Division II, and I have no names for the Brighton team, so that just kind of shows how stats were kept back in the olden days.
Accurately.
Yes.
Boom. All right. Boom. So who to look out for? Who you got?
I think João Pedro. I think João Pedro is the one that he started the first game. He got his goal, looked hot. And then for some reason, he hasn't started for the last two games for whatever reason. I don't know. I expect him after last week's performance by Ferguson up top. I expect João Pedro to get the start this weekend. And I think that he's the one to watch out for. I don't know if he's good at creating his own opportunities. So it's going to be up to sort of like Pascal Gross and Mitoma to be dangerous behind him to create opportunities. But if they can get the ball, if they can create passing lanes through our back line, sort of on the diagonal in the box, I think that's where Pedro is going to be dangerous in the box. The ball coming in at an angle and scoring against the grain. Otherwise, like, I don't know if they're going to challenge us from, you know, like, I think that we're going to have to have a real bad breakdown in defense for Brighton to put multiple goals past us.
Which could happen because we are potentially missing one of our best defenders in Senbomis.
Yikes.
So that is something to consider. I would say Mitoma because I don't think that guy ever has two bad matches in a row. So he's scary. So that's it for players. And then predictions. You've kind of alluded to where you're going.
It's not going to be 4-0 like 1962. It's going to be 3-1. Newcastle win.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go 1-1 draw. I need the attack to show me something to justify me picking them multiple weeks in a row with more than two goals. Actually, I just picked them last week to score more than two goals. And in fairness, they should have, and they didn't. So you got to earn their way back up to that.
Yeah. You don't think Eddie Howe's going to give them the old fashioned hairdryer?
I wouldn't be surprised. Newcastle scored six goals, but the attack has not looked good, so I'm not going to say that it's going to be good in my predictions because I haven't seen it yet. And it's not no disrespect to Brighton or anything like that. I guess it's not even disrespectful. I'm saying that Brighton's going to hold to one goal, which is good. So, okay. I think it's going to be a draw. It's my final answer. Lock it in. Poof. All right. All right. Well, yeah, that's all the time we got for tonight. It's been another episode of CHN Radio. I'm Elijah. That's Josh. Away the lads, and we love you guys.